Sign up to get an email every time a blog is published. Kelly says, Jen's story empowers us all to rise above our circumstances. Jen is an inspiration to all who have the privilege of being touched by her life. Her writing style is open, honest, and engaging. Her story is powerful, not because it's heart-wrenching, which it is, but because she chooses every day to live a life that shows she is not a victim of her circumstances. Jen's strength as a woman empowers us all to overcome the circumstances of our own lives. If you've checked all the boxes in life and yet you still wake up wondering, is this all there is? Or you find yourself feeling overwhelmed and stressed or triggered by past events, the blog will help you get through those negative emotions and lean into joy. Corrine says, when I signed up with Jen, I had no idea it was possible to be joyful. I couldn't see the joy in my life, even though I knew it was there. Jen helped me not only identify the joy, but see how much I had to be grateful for. Each day starts differently because of Jen and her coaching. I highly recommend her if you are ready to turn the switch from negative to positive. It's 100% free to subscribe to the blog. Go to the link and connect with Jen and choose joy.
Welcome to At a Crossroads with the Naked Podcaster, where we bear it all emotionally and spiritually. This podcast is designed to support and uplift you as a Christian. I'm your host, Jen Taylor from momof18.com. Each week on the podcast, I'll bring you an inspiring message to support you in designing and creating a vibrant, fulfilling life. Before we dive in, please visit all of the links in the communities as this is a live broadcast. Feel free to ask questions I can answer during the podcast. At Crossroads with the Naked Podcasters for Christians who know that there is more to life and that our true, authentic souls are built for greatness. You are built with strength and love that is meant to shine through during times of conflict and celebration. Welcome. I can't wait to bear it all with you. In my business as a coach for Christian women, I help them to step into who they are meant to be and be inspired by their purpose and God-given gifts. Follow the links to sign up for my free training on how you as a Christian can begin to design the life that's meant for you. Reach out to me at any time on momof18.com. At a Crossroads with the Naked Podcaster. I'm Jen Taylor, your host. Today we're discussing career. Under career, we're going to talk about something super interesting that I've always struggled with a little bit. I'm going to try to make sense of it. I have tons of notes on two computers and all kinds of stuff. We're going to talk about how there are real biblical principles found everywhere, but skewed for a more worldview. We can find these in movies. We can find these in cults. Today, we're going to talk about manifestation and the law of attraction. This is something that comes up a lot. And guess what? It works. It works. Manifestation and law of attraction works. What manifesting is you get clear on what you want. You ask the universe for it instead of God. You work towards your goals. You trust the process. You clear resistance to receive. And you stay in gratitude and high vibration to keep it going. I would say a better word, and I'm going to thank Anita Albert Watson as one of the sources. A lot of them are just scripture resources and things that I've looked at to make sure that everything that I am presenting is supported in several different areas, but Anita has a great resource about manifestation. So I'm using some of her guide or some of that information to keep me on track. So thank you for that. She calls it that we activate. Activating is partnering with God to receive heaven's blessings. Here's the thing, laws don't discriminate. Whether it's gravity or manifestation, it doesn't discriminate whether you are a believer or non-believer or you're going by faith or not. It is absolutely possible to sow and reap. From a crop to manifesting something, it's possible to sow and reap, whether you're a believer or non-believer, faith or no faith. I'm going to talk about steps for activating, or what is typically called manifesting. The first thing is envisioning, which is pretty much the same, getting really clear on what you want. I work with SMART goals. With SMART goals, the first thing is that it's very specific. So envisioning and being very specific in your goal is absolutely the first step to setting a goal. It's knowing what you want to accomplish and creating almost a mission statement. It's not a detailed list of how, which is where a lot of people get stuck on the how. It's the who, what, when, where, why question. Another thing about goals and envisioning is that it should be measurable. That means, how do you know that you met that goal? It makes it more tangible because you're measuring the progress of it. It's not always something that's going to happen in a week or a month. It could be a year or 5 years, and you need to be able to incrementally measure that. The next thing with envisioning your goal is to make it achievable. It means you can do it. It's attainable. Even though lots of things about your life change, the goal is supposed to inspire you, not discourage you. You need to make sure that you can achieve those goals. Do you have the tools and skills necessary? And if you don't, what do you need to get them, or who do you need to support you? So making sure that your goal is achievable is super important. The next step in SMART goals are relevant. It has to make sense to a broader goal. If you're launching a product, is that product in line with the overall business goal? Making sure that that's happening and that it's relevant to your big picture. And finally, in a SMART goal is time. We can set goals, but if we're not specific about them and we don't set a date that they need to be done, then nothing's going to happen. Visioning, when I'm working with coaches for myself, it's the same process, whether they're using SMART goals or something different. Envisioning and creating those goals and setting that up for success is the first part in activating your God-given gifts or your purpose. So often I find women who feel unworthy of what they want. So you may know what you want or what some of your gifts are, but need to explore your worthiness surrounding that, and feeling guilt that you're even asking for something, or asking for more, or asking for it to be different. God knows your purpose, your gifts, your worth, and he's waiting for you to take the steps. And the way you take the steps is one at a time. You start taking them. When you're feeling really clear about your goals and what your heart's desire is, sometimes that's part of your purpose. We ask the Holy Spirit. If you're not totally clear on what your goals are, what your heart's desires, sometimes this leads into purpose or God-given gifts, you can ask to create an awareness of those desires, what that means, what that looks like, what it feels like, what are the desires that God's placed on your heart. Saying something like, I want more money, or I want a different career, that's not specific enough. It's not possible to measure it. I mean, you may get what you're asking for, but it's not necessarily going to be better. It's really important when we're crafting this vision of what we want, of these goals. Who are you serving? How are you serving them? What are you doing with your time? What relationships do you have and do you want to build? What is your physical and emotional health like? Where are you at now? And where do you want to be? In Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Another way that this is written is, commit to the Lord whatever you do and he will establish your plans. God's waiting for you. He's waiting. So ask, clarify the desire of your heart, get a vision and a plan and set those goals. The next step is to ask. If you're not clear about what you're doing, you can't ask for it. I know as a mom how I feel about my kids, this overwhelming amount of love that I feel for my children that I don't have a way to describe it if you've never experienced it. God feels that for me. He sees my worthiness. He sees my blessings. He sees the gifts and the purpose of my life, just like I see it as a parent to my children. Actually, more, far more than I see it as a parent to my children. God has called you to do something. He's given you a purpose and gift. He is waiting for you, and you are safe to ask for the next step in that. Just remember that we do not very often get the clear picture. We often just get the next step. I feel like that's why we think, oh, we're gonna do this thing, right? And it's point A to point B, and point A to point B ends up being this windy, steep, up a mountain with cliffs and snakes and you need a Sherpa and a base camp and some oxygen. It's not a straight line from point A to point B when we're taking the steps on our journey. And a huge part of that is that this is a journey of faith that God is taking with us. And we don't need to know the whole picture. We're not going to know the whole picture. We need to just be taking the steps. So you've envisioned it. You have visions and goals. You've asked for clarity on that if you needed to. Then you're asking God for the next step. In Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Another very, very famous scripture, Matthew 7, 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened for you. And that goes all the way from verse 7 to verse 12. God's ready for you to ask. The next thing you need to do is take some action. I have an example of this. I signed up for my first half marathon, and that took all of the same things that I'm telling you here. There needed to be a date that we were starting and a date that the race was happening, the completion. So it needed to make sense over time. There had to be what we were doing, when we were doing, how we were doing it, why we were doing it to build up for that. You can't go from sitting on the couch to a 5K tomorrow. There has to be a plan. Part of your action is your faith that God knows what the plan is, and then he's going to lay it out to you in the right time. Your job is to take the action, whether it's in faith, in your communication, or in the actual doing of the things, learning the skills or the texts or having that support. In James 1, 20 to 25, I'm just going to share the beginning of this. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his identity at his natural face in a mirror. He looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. We need to take action. So you did your goal, your ask, your action. Now what? Trusting. Trusting can be difficult. I have to remember that God is there in the spaces between my prayers and my actions, that he has a bigger plan and that I need to trust in that. If we're looking at general manifesting in the secular world, we're getting clear on it. We're asking God for that instead of the universe. We're working towards our goals and trusting the process. And this is the same. We're trusting God, that God knows what's in our best interest. He knows the desires of our hearts, and he's working in the spaces in between. What tends to come up at this point is doubt and fear. This is when the quiet, we've gotten clear and we've asked and we're taking action and we're doing all of those things. And in that space in between, we're trying to trust. We're trusting that God knows best. In the waiting space, our doubts and our fears come up. This is also something that I work with in my coaching program, our limiting beliefs. And I have an example of a limiting belief in my life. I was in school. I was a kid. I took a test and the teacher said something like, you're not very good at taking the test. It could have been on that unit, in this section, in math. I don't know. In my mind, I believed that I was not good at taking tests. Fast forward to college, when I was in history and really struggling, and I said to my professor at the time, I'm just really not good at taking tests. I decided when I was younger that I wasn't good at taking tests because of some comment a teacher made that might not have meant that at all. That decision about myself became a belief. And she said, you're great at taking tests. Everybody's great at taking tests. You're just allowing yourself to walk into the tree and walk into the tree and walk into the tree, and you need to figure out how to walk around it. And it completely changed how I perceived myself. I felt that if I was graded based off of a test, I would fail. And that didn't mean I didn't know the information. It just meant that I wasn't good at taking tests. We are riddled with limiting beliefs that are incorrect about ourselves, that have nothing to do with God and nothing to do with our gifts and our purpose and who we really are. They're things that we have attached to ourselves. I love working through those in my own life and in other people's lives, because it makes such a huge difference in how you perceive yourself and how you move forward. This doubt and fear creeps in, and all of a sudden you're faced with these limiting beliefs about yourself that maybe you didn't even realize that you had. And we're in a very negative head space and not in our heart. One thing that I would encourage you to do is You can also ask God to open your heart, to show you what those limiting beliefs are, to expose them so that you can work through them. God's biggest desire for us is to love. There is no greater commandment from God than we are to love God and love others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second most important command and desire of God's heart is that we love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. So the first thing you have to do to meet God's desire is to love yourself, and to love yourself in a way that you turn around and want to love your neighbor. Part of loving yourself is eliminating some of those limiting beliefs that are not serving you, that are not true. A huge part of everything that I've always done is changing the lens in which you view the world and yourself to a lens of more gratitude and joy. Sounds so simple. It is so simple, and yet we make these things so difficult. Faith is an action, and so is gratitude. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Everything we have is a gift from God, and he desires us, number one, to love ourselves and then others. And that's the next step, especially when you're in the middle of doubts and fears, is to be grateful and is to pour out your gratitude to God. As I go over the secular list for manifesting, getting clear on what you want, asking God for it, action towards your goal. Manifesting says trust in the process, and I'm saying trust in God. He's there in the spaces in between. Clearing resistance to receive is asking or recognizing what your limiting beliefs are and working through them. And for me, it's almost taking that doubt and fear, and I should flip the script and be thankful to God for aligning ourselves with truth and with God's desires, and then staying in gratitude to receive it. And that is important. It's important that we're thankful to God for the things that we haven't seen yet, the things that are coming in our future, the steps that haven't been revealed to us, that we are thankful for that. We know that they are coming, and we need to be open and receptive to that. That high vibration is a huge part of that faith that we use, knowing that that next step is coming, and that God's going to provide the answers to us. In 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of God has in store for you. In this sense, we're talking about career, which is money. Money is a topic that a lot of Christians struggle with. And I'm not going to go into that specifically in this podcast, but more in your career when you're searching for what you want and how you're going to do that and why you're going to do that and what that looks like. Manifesting works for the secular world. To use that, it's as simple as going back to the biblical principles that manifestation came from, and activate the blessings that God wants in our lives. Whether it's in career, which was the topic I was discussing today, or in other aspects of your life, where using secular manifestation can get you further away in your relationship with God, activating your purpose and God's desires for you and the desires of your heart can build the relationship that you have with God and your faith. I'm really happy to talk about this topic. I had a lot of notes for this. There was a lot that I wanted to try to get out. My goal was to do that in a clear and concise way that would be helpful for you. Let me know in the comments if you have any questions. I have a private Facebook group that you can join. The link is below. And as always, just set up a consultation with me. It's no charge to you, and I'm happy to do a strategy session with you. Have an amazing day. Thank you for investing your time with me on At a Crossroads with the Naked Podcaster. I'm so glad that you joined our conversation. If you can take 2 minutes to share this episode with someone you think can benefit from it, or it would have a positive impact on their life, that would be amazing. Go to the podcast page to sign up for the free membership site where all guest links are available. This podcast is designed to help you in your struggles. So reach out and let me know what you enjoy or what you would like to see more of. It will support me on the journey of causing a worldwide epidemic of healing, gratitude, and joy. Until next time, remember, you are not alone in your struggle. Reach out to me on any platform. I love to connect. You are worth it have an amazing day.